Psalms 23. The title of my message this morning is The Lord is My Shepherd. We want to look at these six verses. I imagine this is probably the most quoted Psalms, especially at funerals, than any of the other Psalms. Probably the most memorized. Just has six verses in it. But in this Psalm, David is professing his faith in his shepherd, and reiterating to us all of the glory of that shepherd and all the benefits that he receives from his shepherd. And let us read it together and look at it this morning. In verse 1 of Psalms chapter 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I noticed, as I've noticed it before, but I counted the times again in this psalm that David mentions his shepherd. In these six short verses, he mentions his name 13 times. Now that shows us that his heart is caught up with his shepherd. Talking about his shepherd, the glory of his shepherd, and the benefit that he's received from his shepherd. Look at some of the things that he says here about his benefits. Look in verse 1, the complete satisfaction he finds in his shepherd. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Now that's to be satisfied, isn't it? If he is so satisfied with his shepherd that he lacks for nothing else, then that's saying something about his shepherd. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Here in verses 2 and verse 3, he mentions the experience that he's had with the shepherd guiding him. "He leadeth me beside the still waters, and he leads me in the paths of righteousness." The shepherd leading him, guiding him. And in verse 4, he tells us that all his fears are dispelled by the mere presence of his shepherd. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why, David? "Because thou art with me." The mere presence of his shepherd dispels all his fears in the valley of the shadow of the death. And in verse 4, he tells us of the great comfort that he takes in the rod and staff of his shepherd. "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." This rod and staff is an amazing thing. If you ever want to study about the old shepherds in the Far East, they had a rod that looked something like a small baseball bat. It was heavier than a baseball bat and shorter than your average bat. And then they had the staff that had the large crook in it. You'd seen that. Usually a shepherd could carry the rod on his side some way, and he walked with a staff. But he could use these two things, and he used them for different reasons. One, he used the rod to protect the sheep. They said that those shepherds in the East were so accurate at throwing this rod, at 30 yards, they could break the face or break a rib of a lion at 30 yards with this rod. That's amazing, isn't it? And they say if they had a sheep that often strayed, they could put some bruises on his backside with this rod. David said, "Thy rod comforts me." And don't the Lord's rod comfort you? He not only uses it against his enemy, but he uses it to keep you in check. And sometimes the staff, when the shepherd was leading his flock out, especially through the valley of the shadow of death, and he would get stuck in a ditch or a briar patch, he could reach that hook over and get him around the neck and pull him back in the way. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And that's the rod of his power, the rod of his correction. The rod of his power keeps our enemies away from us. The rod of his correction keeps us near him. David said, that's comfort to me. That's comfort to me. And he says here in verse 5, notice the abundance of the provision that he mentions that his shepherd provides him. Thou preparest a table before me. Thou preparest the table before me. The shepherd prepared the table. David didn't say he gave me the ingredients to fix me a meal. He said the shepherd prepared me a table. And it wasn't a lunch, a sack lunch that I just hastily packed up and I could eat it on my way. No, he prepared it and he had a table that he set. And I sat down and ate where he prepared. And where was it? Right in the face of my enemies. All the provision of his shepherd, David's shepherd. And he says here, thou anointest my head with oil. Well, they say the sheep love this. They would line up to get their heads anointed with oil because they had in this oil, it was a very expensive oil. But the shepherd always carried abundance of this oil because he poured it on the sheep's head, and it not only softened his skin, but it kept the gnats and the flies away. He anointed my head with oil. And it was costly, but he said, my shepherd's a good shepherd. He has oil to anoint my head. And then he summed it up like this, my cup runneth over. David was meditating upon his shepherd and all the benefits that his shepherd had and all the provisions he made. And he said, not only is my cup full to the brim, but my cup's running over. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. And here in the last verse, he expresses his total confidence in the shepherd's goodness. He said, goodness and mercy shall follow me. For how long? All the days of my life. The shepherd's heart must be full, isn't it? Not only David, but for all his sheep. Goodness and mercy follows me. You know, brothers and sisters, we not only need goodness and mercy to go ahead of us, we need it to follow us, don't we? I've often thought of my own self. If I had to go back and clean up the messes that I'd made in my Christian life, I couldn't do it. But when I see mercy following me, and I see goodness following me, just to clean up my messes and forgive all my sins, to cover all my shame, I say to myself, what a shepherd I have. And David, you express his full assurance in the eternal salvation that his shepherd provides for him. He said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There's many mansions in the Father's house. And David said, he's put my name on one of them. He's reserved one of them for me. And I shall dwell there forever. Now, brothers and sisters, wouldn't it be wonderful to every day of our Christian life to live in the joy of this song? To live in the faith of it every day that we live in this world. Wouldn't that be wonderful? You know, I think it's possible. If David did it, I imagine others have done it. In spite of the indwelling sin that we have, in spite of the darkness of our understanding, if we could live wholly by faith upon our shepherd every day, I bet we could live like this. Don't you? I imagine it would take the exercise of faith, but we could do it. It'd be wonderful to live there. Well, if we lived there, there's two things in this first line that is absolutely necessary for you and I to know and believe. If you say, Bruce, I'm going to accept the challenge and I'm going to finish my life and I'm going to live in the faith of this psalm. Well, there's two things that we must know and believe if we're to do that. David mentions them here in my title. The Lord is my shepherd. And first one is this. Who is this shepherd? Now, we got to know that, don't we? We've got to know who this shepherd is. And who is he? David identifies him here as the Lord. What a title that is. The Lord is my shepherd. This word Lord was the national name that the Jewish nation had for God. Sometimes they addressed him as Jehovah, and sometimes they addressed him as capital L-O-R-D. And it's the same name. The Lord. This word is very interesting. It's divided up in two essential meanings. The first one is self-existence. The Lord simply means self-existence. This is where we get our name that we often address the Lord as sovereign. Self-existence simply means that He is independent. He's self-governing. He depends on nobody else. He is the Lord. He don't depend on anybody. He don't depend on anything. He governs himself. He's self-determination. He's autonomous. He's not bound by anyone or anything but his own sovereign character. That's who David's shepherd was. Now, that's a shepherd, isn't it? That is a shepherd. Listen to what Job said. When Job got turned a little bit sideways and the Lord finally had to confront him with some things and strip him of some self-righteousness that he had. And Job wanted to know why the Lord was mistreated him. And he said, Job, let me ask you a question. You think you're somebody, and you think I'm somewhat dependent upon you, and you think you can teach me something. Let me ask you this question. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the world? Job wasn't in existence, was he? He asked David this. If I were hungry, I wouldn't ask you. If I were hungry, I would not ask you for food. For the world is mine and the fullness thereof. The cattle on 1,000 hills are mine and the hills too. We're utterly dependent upon Him, aren't we? But He don't depend upon us for anything. We need Him for our next breath. I'm telling you, if He don't give us every breath, we die. Every heartbeat comes from Him. Every step we take comes from Him. In Him and through Him and from Him, we live and move and have our being. We are utterly dependent upon Him, but He depends upon us for nothing. He does not need us. He is self-existent. Those holy attributes that He has of goodness and grace and power and love and mercy and all of those attributes, those are His. And He'll never diminish in those attributes. He is the Lord. Job said, who hath given to Him that I should repay Him? That's a good. Who has given? Some of these guys talk about you give your seed money. You give God something and that obligates Him to give more back to you. Well, this is what he asked Job. Who hath given to me that I should repay him? He don't need anything we have. He's sovereign. He's self-existent. Whatsoever is under the whole heaven is mine, he said. David said, this is my shepherd. Is this your shepherd? Is that your shepherd? Well, we need to know the shepherd, don't we? We can't say, I'm going to live in the faith of this psalm without knowing the shepherd. And who is the shepherd? He is the Lord. Now that's the first definition. It's made up of two words. Self-existence, and it's made up of this word. And boy, this word says it all. Eternal. The definition of the Lord is self-existent / eternal. And that means there's never been a time that He wasn't. Before time, He was. If you go all the way back in eternity, you see Him there. And He's the same there as He is now. And He'll be the same in eternity as He is now. From everlasting to everlasting, I am God. That's David's shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. This self-existent, this eternal, this unchanging Lord is my shepherd. Now, brothers and sisters, people may get this and receive it in the ascent of their mind and just go on and it never changes them. But I'm telling you, if the Holy Spirit, and when the Holy Spirit opens our hearts to know this Lord, I'm telling you, it's life-changing. You'll never get over it, will you? The world don't know Him, but His sheep know Him. His sheep know Him because He's revealed Himself to His sheep. Religious folks may pass right over this and give it no thought, but the sheep are impressed. The Lord passes by religious people sometime, don't He? And reveals Himself to some open and profane person. He does that all the time. You look at the Gospels, and those Pharisees and scribes, they never did come to know Christ. He was hid from their eyes. And the Lord made Himself known to publicans and sinners. That happened all the way through the Old and New Testament. Joshua and the children of Israel were ready to go into the land of Canaan. And they sent two spies over to Rahab the harlot's house. Remember that? And the city was all shut up because they had heard some things about the Lord and what He had did. And she received those two Jewish spies in, and here's what she said. Now listen to this. You talk about a woman whose heart the Lord had opened. She said to those two spies, "We have heard how the Lord dried up the Red Sea for you." We heard that. And we heard what He did to the two kings of the Amorites, Sihon and Og, whom He utterly destroyed. We heard about that. We knew those kings. We knew what mighty kings they were. People trembled in their presence. The Lord destroyed them. We heard that. And listen to this. When I heard this, my heart melted in me. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man. Now listen to this. This is David's shepherd that she's getting ready to describe. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven and in this earth. Now that was a poor harlot whose heart the Lord opened that she knew the Lord. And what did she say about Him? Ain't nobody else but Him. He's God in heaven. He rules up there. He reigns there. He's sovereign there. And He rules this little ball that we call earth. He reigns here. He reigns over everything. He is the Lord. Is that your shepherd? If that's your shepherd, then you've got a great shepherd. That's what the Bible calls them, isn't it? He is the great shepherd. But here's the second necessary thing now. Not only that we know this shepherd and believe this shepherd, but here David mentions this second thing, and it's this. This Lord, this sovereign, this self-existent, eternal Lord is my shepherd. That makes a difference, doesn't it? He's mine. I don't know how many people I've talked to about the Lord. About the Lord being a sovereign Lord. He's God. And he that cometh to him must believe that he is God. This ain't something that we learn 10 years after we profess him. He teaches us that when he brings us to himself. He that comes to God must believe that he is God. We may be in the dark over a lot of the doctrines, but I'm telling you one thing you know, he's God. That's no doubt, is it? I don't know how many people I've talked to, and this has happened to you too, and they said, that's not my God. That's not my God. Well, that's my God. This is my God. Our God, we can describe him in the Scriptures. The Lord, he's God. And David said, this is my shepherd. He's my shepherd. And we can stay right here in the Psalms, in the context of Psalms 23, and find out who David's shepherd is. We can identify him not only in the New Testament, which is very clearly set forth. We can identify who David's shepherd is right here in this Psalm. Look in Psalms 22 and verse 1. This is another Psalm of David. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Who said that? Where was that said? That was on the cross, wasn't it? And who said that? Jesus Christ said that. That's David's shepherd. Look down in verse 16 of Psalms 22. For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, they pierced my hands and my feet. Who said that? Jesus said that, didn't he? He said it on the cross. They pierced my hands and my feet. And verse 18. They part my garments among themselves and cast lots upon my vesture. And John 19:24 says this, they parted his garment that it might be fulfilled which was written. And he quoted this very verse here. Who is David's shepherd? He's Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Lord of glory. That's his shepherd. Brothers and sisters, think of this. Often in the Old Testament, the sheep gave themselves to redeem the shepherd. The sheep gave themselves to save the shepherd. Remember Exodus chapter 12? The shepherds went out and got a lamb out of their flock without spot and without blemish and brought it home and cut his throat and put the blood over the doorpost, and that saved them. The lamb saved the shepherd. But in the New Testament, the shepherd saves the sheep. The shepherd gives his life to save the sheep. This self-existent eternal Lord is my shepherd, and the same shepherd gave his life to redeem me from sin and wrath and judgment to come. That's who David's shepherd is. That's why David said, I shall not want. Do you want another Savior? Do you want another shepherd? Do you want another Redeemer? Do you want another way of salvation? Are you looking for another way of forgiveness for your sins? Are you looking for another way of acceptance with God? No, you're not, are you? I am completely content with my shepherd. I want no other. I want no other way, and I want nothing but what he's willing to give me. You feel that way? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. When the Scripture says that God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory, can you want any more than that? Can there be any more than that? No, that's all I want, Lord. You supply my need. That's all I need. The Bible says we are accepted in the Beloved. Can you be more accepted? Do you want any more acceptance than that? The Bible says we are complete in Christ. Can we add anything to that? That's why David said, I'm not one for anything. I'm not one for anything else. I'm not one for another way of forgiveness. I'm not trying to work my sins off of my conscience. When he said that he has forgiven you all transgressions, do you need any more forgiveness than that? When he said the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin, can you find any more forgiveness than that? That's complete, isn't it? I want no more forgiveness. There is no more forgiveness. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall never want for anything. I'm not lacking for anything. I'm not looking for a different way. I'm not looking for a different hope. I'm not looking for a different life. I'm not looking for a different God. I'm content, aren't you? Paul said, I've learned to be content. How could that be? I think he knew David Shepherd. And I think David Shepherd was his shepherd. And that's the only way, brother, sister, I know to be content. Whatever state I'm in, I have learned to be content. He must have been living by the faith in this shepherd. So who is the shepherd? Well, he's the one that laid down his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I laid down my life for the sheep. David knew that, didn't he? That's why he wrote Psalms 22. I've often wondered, we talk about the inspiration of the Scriptures. I sometimes wonder if the very placement of these chapters are inspired some way or another. Because he just got through finishing talking about his shepherd on the cross. And then turns right around and says, this is my shepherd. This is my shepherd who died for me. This is my shepherd who redeemed me and brought life eternal for me. Who did everything for me upon the cross of Calvary. The Lord Jesus Christ is the shepherd, and he gave his life for the sheep. But there's another thing the shepherd does for his sheep too, and David knew something about this too. The good shepherd not only gave his life for his sheep, he don't stop there, does he? You know what else the good shepherd does? He goes searching for his sheep. And he finds his sheep. Listen to this. I am the good shepherd. I give my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this flock, this fold. Who's he talking about? The old dead dog Gentiles. Other sheep I have, which are not of the Jewish fold. They're those old dead dog Gentiles. Them also I must bring. That's the power of the shepherd. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Remember that parable of the Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 15? When the Pharisees was mad at him because he ate with publicans and sinners. And he told them the parable about the shepherd that had 100 sheep and he lost one of them. And he says, he leaves the 99 in the wilderness and he goes after. I love it when he says that. He goes after that one which was lost. And he don't go after it with the hopes of finding it. He goes after it until he finds it. Ain't that the way the Spirit said it? And when he finds it, he puts it on his shoulders, lays it around his neck, and hugs it real closely, and carries it back home, and he calls his family and friends together, and says, come rejoice with me, I have found my sheep, which was lost. I had two ladies. I had one man that told me this, but I had two ladies tell me one time. They said, both of them told me this, said, we've never been lost. We've never been lost. That's what they told me. One of them wanted to debate me. I said, my goodness, I can't debate a man. I sure can't debate a woman. If you've never been lost, then you've never been saved. If you've never been lost, then you don't need to be found. And the shepherd says, I come to seek and to save that which was lost. I like how the old hymn writer wrote it. Perverse and foolish, oft I strayed, but yet in love he sought me, and on his shoulders gently laid, and home rejoicing brought me. He brought me home. He found me. Found me lost, ready to perish. And he put me on his shoulders and brought me home, and rejoiced over me, and sang songs over me. Brothers and sisters, that's our shepherd. That's our shepherd. David said, I'm going to stray as a lost sheep. Lord, seek me. Lord, seek me. You may be here this morning and you may be lost yourself. Let David's prayer become your prayer. Lord, seek me. Seek me. And when he seeks you, he'll find you. He'll find you. See why this verse 2 now that we look at here right quickly is so dependent upon who the shepherd is. If you take away the Lord as David's shepherd, then forget about the rest of this song. Just forget about it. All the provisions that David talked about ain't going to happen. For instance, he says here in verse 2, he maketh me to lie down in green pasture. How can he do that? Because he's the Lord. He's the sovereign. He has power to do that. He's full of grace enough to do that. Did you ever dream in your wildest imaginations that some restless creature like you could find rest for your soul? I have. I went all through my teenage years and I was convinced there's no rest for me. Every one of us, in a way, are somewhat like that old Gadarean maniac, aren't we? We've been restless ever since we fell out of life back there in the garden. Ever since we left God and went off into darkness, we've been restless in our souls. We've been full of devils, just like that Gadarean maniac. Lived in the tombs, crying and cutting himself, running everywhere he went. Nobody would have dreamed that that man could have sat down and rested and enjoyed life. They tied him up with ropes and tied him up with chains. He'd just break them and go right back to the cemetery. Had no rest day or night, screaming and crying until the Lord Jesus Christ came where he was. And cast the devils out of him, and clothed him, and put him in his right mind, and there he sat, resting at Jesus' feet. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I never dreamed that I'd have rest for my poor soul. I never dreamed that I'd have peace in my conscience and joy in my heart. Knowing I'm facing eternity, knowing that I'm a poor sinner in myself, and yet I'm resting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you? And aren't you amazed at it all? He causes me, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. That's a wonderful thing, is it not? Philip Keller, I can't remember much about the book, But he wrote a book on the shepherds. Look, it's the 23rd Psalm. Philip Keller was raised. His mom and dad were missionaries in Africa. And it was bad there, so they sent him back home. And he became a shepherd up in Maine. And he wrote a wonderful book on the 23rd Psalms. And became very experienced on taking care of sheep. And he said, for a sheep to lie down and truly rest, three conditions has to be met. He said, sheep's a very peculiar animal. And he said, to get one to lay down, these three conditions has to be met. First of all, he said, their bellies have to be full. If their bellies aren't full, if they haven't eaten until they're satisfied, they'll get up and they'll pick grass. If they're thirsty, they'll get up and go searching for water. The only way to get a sheep to lay down is for his belly to be full, for him to be satisfied. Then he'll lay down and be quiet. Both of those conditions are met here in this Psalms. He makes me lie down, David said. Where? In green pastures. In those lush green pastures. And he leads me beside the still waters. There's those two things. He feeds him. He quenches his thirst. And David said, I don't need anything else. I'm just going to lay down and rest my soul. Isn't that the way the shepherd did to you? Did he not satisfy you? Is that why you don't sit and rest? Listen to how Isaiah 40:11 says, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He feeds them. Listen to Revelation 7:17. The Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of water. He feeds them and he waters them. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be what? Filled. Who fills them? The shepherd fills them. He feeds their soul. He fills the hungry with good things. He may send the full away, but he feeds the hungry with good things. How many times have you opened your Bible just to read it, and he's fed your soul with his word? Ain't that happened to you? Sometimes you open it and you get nothing out of it. But if you get anything out of it, if you get food for your soul, it's because the shepherd is leading you. Boy, sometimes you open your Bible and it's just like a sheep in green pastures, isn't it? And sometimes we come here and we sing one of those old hymns of praise. Depths of mercy can there be? Mercy still reserved for me. And it quenches the thirst of your soul. Hasn't you experienced that? The Lord feeding us, quenching our thirst. And we rest. We lay down and we rest. Keller said this second condition had to be met was this. He said, for a sheep to truly lay down and rest, he had to be free from any pest. He said, a sheep was so peculiar about its face that it could not endure flies to be on its, around its eyes. He would just sit and shake its head until it wore itself out. He would get up and walk around if gnats was bothering it, or he'd be rubbing his head against a little bush or a tree and skin his little face up. That's why our text says, he anointed my head with oil. He takes away these pests and gives us rest. He anointeth my head with oil. Don't we read about this in the New Testament, this anointing? We do, don't we? There's something to this anointing that David talked about. It's so important, isn't it? John said this, you have an anointing from the Holy One. He's anointed you. And now you know all things. The anointed which you have received of Him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but that same anointed teacheth you of all things, and even as He has taught you, ye shall abide in Him. What is this anointed? Well, it's the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God's own Son. David anointed his sheep with oil, and that kept the pest away. God sends the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Father, Father. And Christ said, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He's going to guide you into all truth. He's not going to speak of Himself now. You're not going around jumping benches, hollering, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost. He came to glorify Christ. He's going to take the things of Christ and show them to you and show you that you've got an interest in Christ. And what did Christ call Him? The Comforter. This anointing, He's the Holy Spirit that God sends into our hearts. He teaches us everything that we need to know. He reveals Christ and His benefits to us. He makes us know ourselves as we are, and He comforts us. And you know something? When He does that, you can sit down and rest because it keeps the pest away. You say, Bruce, you mean a Christian don't have any pests? Oh, he's got a bunch of pests. I mean, you find that you're in this psalm, don't you? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that's a pest to say the least, isn't it? That's where those wolves hid out at. When they led them through those valleys going up to the high country, those lions and bears would hide out there in the brush and jump out and grab a little lamb. Oh, there's a pest. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Yeah, we got a lot of pest. But here's the thing, brothers and sisters. Greater is He that is in you than he or anything that is in the world. Greater is He that's in you than the circumstances you find yourself in this world. I don't know what they might mean. They may be difficult circumstances. But if He sent the Spirit of God into your heart, crying, Father, Father, I'm telling you what, you've got something that will keep you even when sudden fear comes. Even when the circumstances become very difficult. And He keeps you to the point from these pests that you can rest. You can just rest. Cindy and I were sitting at a restaurant, I think it was Friday. And Cindy got a text and she opened her text up and she said, oh no! And she's done me that way before. It almost choked me. And I said, I almost screamed at her, don't do that! Don't do that! Can I rest when my wife says, oh no! Somebody's died. I just know it, somebody's died. Can we have rest in spite of the pest? You better bet we can. Because greater is He that's in you than the pest that's outside of you. And Cindy just finished reading the book of Acts. And if you all don't have a time of devotion, set aside a time of devotion. If you're married, try to set aside a time of devotion with your spouse. It's wonderful to do that if you can. We were reading Acts chapter 26. And that's where they just arrested the Apostle Paul. Brought him from Jerusalem down to Caesarea. And King Agrippa with his wife Bernice was there. And they wanted to hear what Paul had to say. They'd heard about him preaching, and they said, we want to hear what this man's got to say. So they set him aside a day. And Bernice and King Agrippa and the governor and all of the politicians and all your soldiers, they gathered, the scripture says, with great pomp. It was a marvel to see those people and the way they were dressed. They're getting ready to have a big dinner, but they wanted to hear from Paul first. And here come Paul in, dressed in regular old clothes, and his hands and his feet was bound with a chain. And King Agrippa said, Paul, you can speak for yourself. And you know the very first words out of that man's mouth. I think myself happy. Can you imagine that? And you know how he closed his speech to them? I wish every one of you was just like me. What did that man have that his enemies, the flies and the maggots and the mosquitoes of this life did not disturb his rest? He knew the shepherd. He lived by faith upon his sovereign shepherd. That's all you can attribute that to. I have learned to be content. I am resting in the Lord Jesus Christ. In spite of these pests. It's easy to talk about a sovereign God. It's easy to trust Him when the sun's shining pretty and the skies are blue. It's when you get a text and you look at it and think, oh no, it's harder to trust Him then. I get on with Cindy a lot. I don't get on to her, I just joke with her. It's harder. Isn't it more difficult to trust the sovereign Lord than to just talk about Him? He brings us to the place to prove us, doesn't He? You really believe me? You believe who I am? You believe I'm really a sovereign Lord? You believe I've got your best interest at heart? You believe I love you? You believe everything that comes to you comes through my throne? You believe that? I'm going to check and see if you believe that. Brothers and sisters, there's rest in Christ in spite of everything hell can throw at you. In spite of everything man can throw at you. In spite of every mess you get yourself into. There's rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what this psalm is about. Our Lord has redeemed us. And David said here in this psalm in closing, he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. This is the last thing, right quickly. Mr. Keller said, before a sheep can lay down and rest, he has to know that the shepherd is with him. Keller said he was amazed that he could spend one day away from his sheep and send somebody else to care for them. How restless they would become. He said almost immediately they would start scattering because they would not listen to another man's voice. He talked about having to go out and speak to them to get them to calm down. I'll walk through the valley of the shadow of death and I'll fear no evil because you are with me. That's amazing, isn't it? The mere presence of the shepherd. The Lord said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And therefore we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I love how David says it. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. But what is that? That has to be the secret presence of our Lord. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You don't care to go through the valley of the shadow of death if you're hiding under the shadow of a gracious God, do you? Isaiah said, His presence shall be as a tabernacle for His shadow from the daytime in the heat, for a place of refuge, for a shelter from the storm and from the rain. And His presence shall be a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, and for a refuge from the storm and a shadow from the heat when the blast of the terrible ones is as the storm against the wall. Boy, His presence meets all our need, doesn't it? No wonder Newton said, a prison would palaces prove if Jesus would dwell with me there. I'd rather be in hell with His presence than be in heaven without it. That's it. That's how much we value His presence. I don't fear, Lord, because You're with me. You're with me. Our Sovereign Shepherd has redeemed us. He's found us. He's leading us to our Father's house on high. And He'll never leave us nor forsake us until He's brought us to that holy and happy place. And you can't ask for more than that. Father in heaven, oh gracious Father, what a shepherd You provided for us to supply all our needs and more too. Oh Lord, we have nothing this evening, this morning to say to You. We can't offer You anything. You don't need anything. We just come and bow before Your presence and offer the fruit of our lips. Thanksgiving to Your blessed name. Thank You for being such a shepherd for us. We bless You and we praise You. I pray for this dear people gathered here this morning. Lord, don't let anybody leave here today without them becoming a seeker of the Lord and seeking You till they can say with David, the Lord is my shepherd too. Bless our food today. Bless our fellowship as we receive this food. Thank You for these dear ladies and these men that have provided this food for us. We bless You. Bless those dear churches who's going through terrible trials and saints in other countries that's being persecuted for Your name. You put them in the fire. Be there with them. You put them in the waters that's swift. Oh Lord, You won't let them sink. Comfort them in their afflictions. For Christ's sake we ask. Amen. Well, I kept you a little bit long.